The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different.
Who
are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the WrestleCast. This is episode 109. I'm Sammy Kalunga, and joining me this week, it's just a two-man booth this week. It's me and Don. Don, say what's up.
Hey, what's going on, folks? All you pencil neck geeks out there, are you ham and eggers? Welcome to the WrestleCast. I play the role of heel commentary tonight.
Right. So, is there any news? Because I don't think much has happened this week at all.
Goldberg signed.
We were going to get to that.
For some dates, that's about it.
No, way to spoil the party, Don. Come on. So, besides that, a bit of spoilerific news, thanks to Don here. Don, we had the NXT TakeOver show on Saturday. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, thanks for everybody who came out to NXT Dot. We had a very good turnout, lots of good tweets, and we got a very good, excellent show. So we're going to start out, of course, with everybody's favorite entrance, the glorious Bobby Roode with full choir this time. It was fantastic. He was wrestling the Perfect 10, Todd Dillinger. Bobby Roode actually gets the win with his Impaler DDT. Great opening match. Now, of course, the crowd was just at a fever pitch for these two guys. Todd Dillinger being from Canada, Bobby Roode being from Toronto. Couldn't ask for anything more from an opening match. It was fantastic. Did you like this match, Sam? I know you tuned into this.
So what part?
The opening match.
Oh, yeah, it was all right. It was cool.
Mm-hmm. What did you feel about the
entrance? It was groundbreaking or anything. No, that was all right.
So we had our...
Isn't he a heel? I don't understand.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to be a heel, but, you know, some things are just so great that they transcend storyline and logic. Mm-hmm. That would be Bobby Roode in the glorious entrance. So then we have the Authors of Pain versus TM61, the finals of the Dusty Classic. We have Paul Ellering suspended above the ring in Shark Cage, called back to Battle of Atlanta.
Now, answer me this question. Was he constantly getting interfering, or was it just once?
No, it was just once. He dropped the...
Well, that doesn't make any damn sense.
Well, he was kind of shouting instructions out, but he... only did the one dastardly thing where he dropped the chain down from the cage.
Leading up to it,
he had interfered a little bit in every match. And then on their second to final match, he really interfered. That's basically what happened.
That doesn't warrant a shark cage, though. I guess that's what you want to do.
Well, Stephen Regal said that
they should have had a match where he says, okay, if you interfere this time, there'll be consequences.
Well, they didn't. I don't know if they had a whole lot of time to really change up a lot of the details, because I'm pretty sure this wasn't the route that they were going when they originally set this up. I'm pretty sure they had four other people in mind for this finals and who was going to win. So
was Triple H watching the WWE Network and he saw those classics that are on there. He's like, oh, by George, we should use a shark cage. And then Ollie Anderson should come out.
Well, you know.
Not kidding.
Just the way it goes. They spent all this money and had all this time to finally put something out. So you might as well use it if you can. But in the end, the Authors of Pain hits their finisher, the last chapter, the Russian leg sweep clothesline combo, and they are the winners of the second Dusty Rhodes Classic. Gold Dust was on hand to present the trophy along with Triple H. So then we get to...
That's another thing I don't understand. If they're heels, why are they basking in the glory of winning this tournament? Shouldn't they be like we want nothing to do with this or something, you know, toss the trophy or something? I don't know. Maybe I'm just too old school. I don't know. Dude, heels should be heels, damn it.
Dude, haven't you ever seen the Jim Crockett Memorial Cup when the bad guys won, when Orientelli won? It's all about the winning of the thing. You celebrate it the same.
Yeah, but these are supposed to be dastardly heels. Like, these are Paul Etherington's dudes.
That doesn't apply when there is a tournament involved, sir. The goal is to win the tournament. So the heel-face dynamic doesn't really help as much if you win as the heel. You accomplish your goal.
Yeah.
All right. So we get Gargano and Ciampa versus Dash and Dawson, a.k.a. The Revival. Best 2 out of 3 falls for the NXT Tag Team titles. Oh, yeah, of course. This is probably going to be a best match of the year. The Revival counter Gargano's shoulder block that he likes to do through the ropes into the Shatter Machine, and they win the first fall. That was very, very sick. Gargano and Ciampa, they hit the super kick knee combo to win the second fall. And then we get into the third and final fall. We have a lot of false finishes. It's really built into the end. Gargano and Ciampa get the Revival in double submission holds. They're kind of like right by each other, so it looks like one's going to tap and the other one would grab his hand. And they kind of did that like 3 or 4 times back and forth. Like, he was even like biting on his wrist tape, trying to keep him from tapping out. But they finally do tap out, and Gargano and Ciampa are your new NXT Tag Team Champion. What can I say? I mean, the Revival are just at the top of their game when it comes to these matches. They're so old school that even Sam can like them.
No, it ain't me. Even Jim Cornette can like them. They're his favorite tag team.
Yeah, you and him have the same sensibilities.
We're both old school like that, you know.
But yeah, definitely a match of the year candidate, and definitely the match of this whole event for sure. So then we get Mickey James versus Asuka for the NXT Women's title. Match that really didn't get a lot of build coming up into it like these other matches had, so didn't really know what to expect, especially with Mickey James coming back and being in the ring for the first time in like a year or two since her TNA little time and, you know,
this having TNA death.
Yeah.
And dying.
So Asuka gets Mickey to tap to the Asuka lot. She really got pushed to the limit, though. I mean, Mickey gave her a hell of a match. She took a really nasty bump, too, with that German suplex out on the apron around the ring, so on the floor. That was pretty nasty. I really enjoyed it. I thought Mickey James looked good. I thought that, you know, I could definitely see her, you know, have another match with Asuka, or she wanted to jump into the NXT Women's Division for a few months. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
As long as she brings Magnus with her, that's cool.
Okay.
Well, you don't like Magnus?
No, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Oh, Don.
So next we have our main event, Nakamura versus Samoa Joe for the NXT title. Samoa Joe hits the muscle buster and pins Nakamura after he gave him the SD Joe on the ring steps, called back to when he injured Nakamura and put him out for like a month. And shockingly and surprisingly, Samoa Joe is your new NXT champion.
I mean, like, these two went back and forth and back and forth, and Joe was getting frustrated. He was like, what am I going to do to beat this guy? And he gives him the muscle buster, and that was pretty much it. But he kicked out of the Kinshasa. And then, like, Nakamura was actually setting up for another one. That's when Joe got him.
Yeah, he spilled out the ring, and he hit him with a low blow and gave him the ST Joe on the stairs, and then rolled him back in, muscle buster, and that's all she wrote, so... Yeah, it was really shocking. A lot of people did not expect to see the title change hands at this particular event. So it's going to make they've got 2 more big events scheduled. They've got one in Japan in a couple of weeks. And then a couple of weeks after that, they've got a cage match scheduled for Australia. I know for sure that the cage match is going to be recorded and shown on NXT at some point. So that might be the ultimate match between those two. And so that was our NXT TakeOver review. And I won the Who You Got for TakeOver.
Oh, nice. Well, you watch the show, so you would know more of these people more. I was just like, yeah, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Don't reveal all the inner workings of how we play the game, sir.
All right. So now we're up to Survivor Series.
Yes, we are.
4-hour
extravaganza. At first, we start with Say No to the Pre-Shows, though. We had Rich Homie Swan, PJ Perkins, Noam Dar versus Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, and Daivari. The Rich Homie Swan hits the Rich Kick, followed by the standing 450 on Daivari to get the pin. And they dance all night long because you can't handle this. And then we get our second match. Kane versus Luke Harper. And Kane wins with Joe Slam.
Now, wasn't it... They kind of killed it for me because, you know, seeing Luke Harper out there and then, like, at the end of the main event of the big match, he comes out. It kind of, like, ruined it. I'm like, well, I already saw this guy earlier. Like, it's not a surprise. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I wasn't even thinking like that. I was just, you know, hey, Luke Harper, Wyatt family.
Yeah, because they were pushing, like, oh, my God, it's Luke Harper. Like, oh, my God, I saw him earlier with Kane.
I didn't even register like that.
And then we got to the actual show itself. Team first, it's the women's match. Team Raw: Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Alicia Fox, and Nia Jax against Team SmackDown. It was Carmella, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Becky Lynch, and what was supposed to be Nikki Bella. All the ladies come out. Nikki Bella's in the back. You know, apparently she was hurt. She was injured. Someone got her, and she doesn't know who it is. And she will not be able to compete tonight. Luckily, Natalya was right there. And she says, you know, I guess I'll have to do the right thing and jump in there for my team. Speculation over who did it, even though she's done this before with Becky Lynch, and we never found out who it was. You remember that?
Yeah, she got that. Yeah, she got that Nancy Kerrigan. It was unfortunate.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I don't even remember. Who was the first one? It wasn't Naomi those first one out, was it? It was one of the...
No, Alicia Fox eliminated Carmella. That was okay. The first elimination.
Goodbye, Carmella. Okay, now who was the next one? Was it...
And then Alexa Bliss hits the Sparkle Splash, and then she eliminates Alicia Fox.
Okay. And then at some point, Naomi's doing all her cool flips and dives. I gotta tell you, Don, she was standing up on that apron in front of the hard camera. Jesus, that camera wasn't... Never mind.
And the camera wasn't the only thing that was hard, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, apparently. See, your filthy mind over there, Don. No, yeah. No, that...
You're the one who brought it up, sir. I'm just you know, playing along.
Creep cast. So then Naomi's doing her dives and flips and stuff. She died. Apparently, at some point, she runs into Nia, right? And then Nia knocks her out on the outside.
Yeah, she got ran into the post, and then she got thrown off the ring apron by Nia. And, that's why she got counted out, because she couldn't get up.
She was counting out. Now, some people consider this a burial. I really don't, because if you're going to bury someone, you're going to either make them tap or just have them take, like, a finisher in the ring. And then this is more kind of like, it's I wouldn't so much say that they're covering for her or saving her or something, but it's not a burial.
Yeah, actually, it was more of a protective
protection. That's what I mean. Yeah, it seemed like they were protecting her. For what? I don't know. I mean, are we going to see a Naomi run in the future? I hope so, but I'm not counting on it. Just the way they seem to jerk her around. But yeah, so that happened. And Nia Jax taps out to the disarmor, right? Oh, then Sasha Banks gets eliminated.
It's Natty Rose of Sasha and eliminates her. Yeah.
Okay, then more stuff happened. It ends up with just Charlotte and Bayley at the end.
She pins Natty. Becky gets Nia tapped to the disarmor. Then Charlotte hits Alexa Bliss with the big boot and pins her. Then Bayley hits the Bayley. Is it Charlotte and Bayley versus Becky Lynch at the end?
Okay, and then they celebrate. Charlotte attacks Sasha. I mean, Charlotte attacks Bayley, and we're back to where we started.
Right. Team Raw wins the ultimate match as Bayley hits the Bayley to Bayley to Becky.
Right. Okay, so next we have the Intercontinental Championship. If Zayn wins, the title goes to Raw.
Whoa, hold on. You had the Good Brothers running to James Ellsworth, a.k.a. Jimmy No Chin. Mick steps in, stops.
That's not important.
And runs the Good Brothers off. Ellsworth starts going through his memories of Mick Foley after they have a little exchange with Foley. Ellsworth turns right into Braun, and Braun looks at him and asks, "Don't I know you?" And James Ellsworth runs off. That was great.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I don't like these Ross backstage things on my pay-per-views. I just hate them.
Oh, that was good.
I don't know.
And they're done well.
No, it was cool. I mean, it was funny. I liked it, but it's no need. Anyway, so Intercontinental Championship match next. If Zayn wins, he takes the title to Raw. Back and forth match as usual. Zayn, now does Zayn have The Miz in the figure four, or is it the other way around?
The Miz is in the figure four. Sami Zayn has The Miz in the figure four.
Okay, so then Maryse, kind of like the Montreal Screwjob, you know, the bell is rung early, and while in Zayn thinks he wins, Miz, he rolls him up, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does.
Okay, so Miz rolls him up, and he wins, and it's the Toronto Screwjob. So the title is not going to Raw.
Distraction finish.
Yeah, distraction finish.
Hashtag beer it is.
So what do you got tonight for your distractions?
We've got Distraction Finish Drinking Game is sponsored by Sweet Baby Jesus tonight. Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter. Basically, it's a beer that tastes like you're drinking a Reese's Cup.
Cool.
That's excellent.
All right, so Team Raw. Okay, so now it's a tag. Team Raw, The New Day, Sheamus, Cesaro, Enzo, and Kaz, and the Shining Stars against Gallows and Anderson. With Gallows and Anderson against Heath Slater, Rhino, Hype Bros, American Alpha, Breezango, and the Usos. I'm not going through all this match, but yeah. New Day gets out early, stuff happens, and Raw wins.
Yeah, basically we get the Usos end up last, Enzo and Cass. Usos hit a big splash on Enzo to pin him. They eliminate Enzo and Cass, and then Cesaro and Sheamus left. Cesaro gets one of the Usos to tap out. And Team Raw wins. So Cesaro and the Sheamus versus the Usos at the end.
Okay. So next we have the Cruiserweight Championship. The Brian Kendrick against Kalisto. Now, if Kalisto wins, the Cruiserweights go to SmackDown instead of being on Raw. So the match happens, and then Baron Corbin comes out and attacks. Does he attack Kendrick or Kalisto? He attacks Kendrick, right? That's how Kendrick wins.
Yeah.
And then he beats up Kalisto.
Right.
So his explanation for this was that the Cruiserweights were pissed. They have no business on his show taking up his airtime, and he doesn't like Kalisto anyway. So I guess the Cruiserweights are getting two paydays.
Yeah, he sounds like Vince McMahon.
Yeah. They're pissed.
Mm-hmm. Taking up space on his show.
Yes, yeah, right. So I guess they're going to get two paydays, one on Raw and one on SmackDown, because 205 Live tapes on SmackDown. I guess. I don't know what to say about that. It's kind of stupid, but okay. So was there like a vignette in between the main match, or
basically the Brian Corbin, the Baron Corbin that you just talked about? What was that?
So that's when that happened. Okay. Yep. All right. So AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, Shane McMahon, and Bray Wyatt with James Ellsworth against Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Bronny the Strowman. So this was it was actually heart pounding just because SmackDown was my pick, and I didn't want them to lose, but it seemed like they were going to lose. And I was just like, I was on my feet. I was just like watching, like, come on, guys, come on, pull it out.
They did something that got you excited. It's great. I love to hear they actually do things that you like.
Yeah, so like at one point, Braun Strowman, he just kills everyone. Braun Strowman is out on the apron, tries to get back in the ring. James Ellsworth is under the ring, grabbing his leg so he can't move. And Braun Strowman gets counted out. Let's see here. More stuff happens. At one point, Ambrose is gone, and he really does not like who is it that he hates? AJ Styles. Okay,
AJ Styles.
Why is AJ? Okay, oh yeah, because he was on his own team. Okay, so AJ Styles is in there with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and a bunch of other people. And at one point, Dean Ambrose comes back with like a bunch of referees, like holding him back. He wants to go after Styles, and then all these security geeks come out and they try to hold him back. Reigns and Rollins look at each other, and then they just go after them. And they beat up all the geeks. And for a split second, we get a mini Shield reunion as they triple powerbomb AJ Styles through the table. And that was pretty awesome. That was great. That was a great moment right there. So then eventually ends with... Oh, yeah. So then who was it that was left on Raw? Was it Reigns and Rollins? There was a final two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At one point, Styles has Jericho in... He has him in some kind of hold, right?
Mm-hmm. He has him in like a sharpshooter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Kevin always takes it upon himself to grab the list, and he smacks Styles with it, eliminating himself, but saving his friend. And the list flies everywhere. And but then Jericho gets eliminated anyway. So
yeah, he was so distraught.
So
he,
then
caught an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, because he was trying to pick up his list. Yeah. So then it ends with Reigns and Rollins against Orton and Bray. And then Luke Harper comes and joins, and they beat them up. And finally, Wyatt gets a win at a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was great.
But this was pretty great. It was pretty hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Match went about an hour, but still.
Yeah, he hit the Sister Abigail on Roman. Roman was the actual last person left for Raw as Seth Rollins got eliminated by RKO from Randy Orton. So, but yeah, it was actually great to see Bray Wyatt actually, you know, be the victor here in this. Hopefully he gets a better push than when Dolph Ziggler was the Soul Survivor when Sting came back.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Don. Don't get too excited now. All right, so the main event. Down right here, how everyone got eliminated. They actually eliminated Breezango with the Midnight Hour.
Yeah, they did.
Well, I didn't even notice that this was here. Anyway, so then Goldberg versus Brock. So then of course they do the entrance. Goldberg comes out with the state troopers this time, doing his old fashioned Goldberg entrance. Match goes about 1:25. I think Brock tries to shove Goldberg in the opening. Goldberg gets the upper hand, spears him. Brock sold the hell out of this. He sold this like a champ. Goldberg
was running back in. He
spears him a second time, and Brock Lesnar looked dead. And then as Goldberg is picking up Brock, like you see Heyman on the outside on his hands and knees praying, like, please, Goldberg, don't do this. Yeah, Goldberg picks him up, jackhammers him, and that's pretty much it. And I would have been pissed about this if this really was Goldberg's only match and he left. I would have been angry. But then we find out later on that Goldberg actually did sign a deal similar to Brock Lesnar's, where he's paid by appearance basically until Vince McMahon is just sick of him.
So
good for Goldberg, and he will be. And we can't spoil that yet.
No,
we have to. That happens on Raw.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a jaw-dropping 2 minutes worth of action. It definitely had everybody scratching their head, and it had the whole Survivor series. Survivor Cast Matters live tweet with the big question mark. Everybody was just like, huh? What we see? Oh my gosh, can't believe Brock just jobbed out like that. Monday Night Raw did make a little bit more sense to why it happened. And shout out to everybody join us for Survivor Cast Matters. We had like almost 900
hashtag
tweets for that. It's a moderately lengthy hashtag.
Well, you have to copy and paste. That's what I was doing.
Okay. If you use something like TweetDeck, it already keeps the hashtag in there for you. You just add what you want to tweet to the front of it. Pro tip.
Yeah, I tried TweetDeck a long time ago. I didn't like it. Like, I mean, the native Twitter app sucks on Android. It sucks on both platforms. But if I had a choice, I would. I love Tweetbot, man. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't have it for Android.
Yes, that's an iPhone situation only there.
Dude, I really do wish it came to Android. But anyway, unfortunately, one can only dream. Sunday Night Raw, live from Toronto. So Goldberg comes down to cut a boring 20-minute promo. He talks about his win last night. Oh, yeah, also, we forgot to mention he grabbed this porker of a son, shirtless, and put him into the ring with him, which I'm sure he'll not want to remember that later on.
Well, maybe.
His friends in high school will be like, hey, remember that time that you were like had no shirt on and you were in the ring?
I mean, he was in a wrestling ring. If there's a place where not having a shirt on should be accepted, it would be in a wrestling ring.
Right. I just thought it was odd. Like, at what point did he lose his shirt? Because when he went to hug him the first time, he had his shirt on. Then he turned around and went back, and he was shirtless. Like, do kids just, like, just say, just are just like, oh, how will I feel it? Taking my shirt off. Just thought it was odd.
Might have been hot in there.
Yeah, right. And let's see here. He talks about his win last night. He thanks the fans, thanks his wife, and thanks his kid. He says when he walked through the curtain, Stephanie told him that he did, in fact, have one more spear and one more jackhammer left. But does he have one more title run left? The crowd chants, "You still got it." His answer to that question was, "You bet your ass." The crowd chants, "Goldberg." He announces himself as an entrant in the 2017 Royal Rumble. He leaves and takes a bow on stage. Pretty cool spot. Pretty cool moment for him.
Good promo,
so,
man.
So then, yeah. Isn't it funny, like, when they let people talk on their own, like, what they get out of them instead of all these scripted crap?
Oh, yeah, man. It's amazing. that these guys can actually like form sentences and put together some like passionate thoughts and feelings that come across on the television screen on their own.
So then as we're doing the transition music to the commercial, we see the New Day backstage with Cesaro and Sheamus. They're talking, and Sheamus shoves Xavier, and then they start fighting, which is pretty funny. Anything they were saying. Okay, so then we get to the tag championship match, Sheamus and Cesaro against the New Day. The New Day say they led their team to victory, even though they did go home a little early. They bring up the demolition, which makes you believe that Axe and Smash are going to come through the crowd and beat them up. However, Axe and Smash are part of a lawsuit against WWE, so that's not happening. Maybe that's why they're doing this, so they can rub it in their faces. But that's why they're letting them break the streak, break the record.
Yeah, Vince would never do anything that petty. What are you talking about?
All right. How dare you even suggest that? Kofi says that their record is going to be demolished. They did the you name it with the name of the other team. Yeah, what it did. They did the you name it with the other tag teams on Raw. No one in the crowd gets it because, you know, Caucasian.
And Canada.
Well, I'm sure the internet is worldwide, sir.
Yeah, but I don't think Canada is ready for Shirley Caesar.
It's funny because, like, I was following her page on Facebook years ago, and I just wondered why that started popping up all of a sudden. And I remember, oh, yeah, I forgot I liked her. You know, in the little music, you don't know about Facebook. But on Facebook, there's like you can put on there, like, what's your favorite music and stuff. And then when you do that, for some reason, it automatically follows their page for you. So yeah, that was pretty cool. So during the match, Cesaro puts Kofi in the sharpshooter. Xavier jumps up on the apron and starts playing the trombone, distracting the referee while Kofi is tapping. When the ref finally turns around, Kofi suddenly rolls up Cesaro and gets the victory to a chorus of boos because everyone loves Cesaro.
Hashtag distracts the finish game.
Yeah, right. Take another drink. Chris Jericho is interviewed by what's her name. She asks one of the dumbest questions ever. What is your reaction to Team Raw's loss? Like, what do you think it is?
Her name is Charlie Caruso. Please say the Caruso.
Charlie Brown. David Caruso. He says the match for the part when the list was used as a weapon. Someone was responsible for that, and he's going to tell the world who is to blame, or whom is to blame. Enzo is backstage with no clothes on for some damn reason. Cass locked him out of the locker room or something. How Enzo got outside in the first place is anyone's guess. He walks around backstage with pixelated private parts. Twitter was going crazy, of course. The ladies of the WrestleCast. The glow was popping for this one.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Did you notice that?
Yeah, I had to tell Young Littlefoot and Dee Dee to calm their ass down.
Yeah, you're going to get the hose on them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he sees Lana and is like, how you doing? To which Rusev appears and asks the question of the night. It's a better and way more pertinent question than any of the announcers have asked in weeks. Like even your friend, your buddy there, Charlie. He asks, why are you naked in front of my wife? It's a great question. Like, he should be in it. He should be an interviewer. So they jawjack back and forth. The cast gets involved and stuff happens. Stephanie and Mick are backstage talking about Goldberg and Team Raw. She says she wasn't serious about firing any of the superstars, you know, because she threatened to fire them. And that's your payoff for that storyline, Don, by the way.
Yeah, appreciate it, Steph. Always coming through in the clutch when I need you.
Sami Zayn appears. Mick Foley says that he is a fan of Sami, but he did not bring the IC title home, so he must be punished. So he puts him in a match against Bronny the Strowman. Cedric Alexander versus Daivari. Daivari grabs the mic and says that Canadians are no better than Americans. The match starts. The crowd chants boring. And Cedric gets the win with the lumbar check. I saw a YouTube video where he does this move to his wife. It looked goofy just because of the way she sells it. That woman can't sell. His wife, by the way, is Ariel. You know Ariel Monroe, right?
Yes.
One of Nia's child. Yeah, that's his lady.
Yeah, okay. Well, cool. Good for them.
Okay, so Jericho comes out for the highlight reel. And I think it was Kevin Owens as a guest, or did he just come out on his own?
No, Kevin Owens was the guest.
Okay, so Kevin Owens was a guest. They talk about the events at Survivor Series and how Kevin Owens used the list against AJ Styles and got disqualified. Kevin says he did it because he didn't want to see his best friend go out like that. The two men start to question their friendship. They say that someone is to blame, and that someone is Roman Reigns, they say in unison. Kevin says that while Jericho was in trouble, Roman Reigns just stood there and did nothing. So then during all this, Seth Rollins comes out, teaming with those two scumbags. He was promised a unique opportunity. Is Dario Cueto around? I keep saying that word. Seth says that the opportunity is for a shot at the Universal title, and he wants it tonight. The crowd does a yes chant. Kevin grabs the mic and tells the crowd that the guy who did that is no longer relevant. which is great. that's like total ROH Kevin Steen, by the way. That's something he would do. So Jericho calls Seth a stupid idiot, and he doesn't believe anything he's saying. Rollins says it looks like he's going to have to go through both of them. He attacks both men, they get the upper hand, and Roman Reigns comes out for the save. And let me tell you, Don, Teddy Long was somewhere just salivating at the opportunity, at the prospect of these four guys getting in a tag team match. Mick Foley comes out. He says that Seth Rollins promised a unique opportunity, and that the other opportunity happens tonight. Jericho and Roman are both banned from ringside in a no disqualification match, by the way. I don't know how that works, but okay. Rusev versus Enzo. Lana comes out and calls the Canadians Americans. North Americans, maybe? I don't know. Enzo is awful in the ring. Rusev puts him in the accolade while staring a hole through Kaz. Enzo taps. Rusev keeps the accolade on, and Kaz goes after Rusev, but Rusev slips away. And so it's time for Say No to Golden Truth. I got up, made some cereal. I chose Frosted Flakes. Other possibilities were Honeycomb, Apple Jacks, Honey Bunches of Oats, and Strawberry Honeycomb. Either way, they were far more interesting than anything having to do with these two guys.
The Good Brothers win with the Magic Killer and are the new number one contenders and will face the New Day.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. So what are your cereals of choice?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Raisin Bran Crunch. I'm a Fruity Pebbles guy. If you got to have some type of just sugar cereal. Cracklin' Oat Bran is probably like my number one though.
Oh, they still make that?
Oh yeah, that's the goat, man.
They still make that? I really didn't know. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, man, just gotta go look. They don't make like the big box of it. It's always a small box, but
right. Oh, it's always like the little mini box. Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, there's a bunch of cereals that I just don't see anymore, like I used to. Like it's kind of hard to find a Wheaties box. I mean, only because
millennials don't eat cereal. Yeah, have you seen the reports?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, they don't do a lot of things. They don't have sex. They don't buy gold. You know, I don't know. So, Sami Zayn versus Bronny the Strowman. As Sami comes down the ramp, Bron jumps him, throws the young man around, tosses him in the ring. The crowd chants, ole, ole. The bell rings, and Bron squashes him against the turnbuckle. He beats him up some more. Eventually, he puts him in the Tree of Woe and is about to do something dastardly to him. Mick Foley comes down and tells referee Chad Patton to ring the bell because Sami can no longer defend himself. And he obviously feels bad about putting him in the match in the first place. So is this a burial of... Because they're doing the Daniel Bryan to him. It doesn't work.
To Sami Zayn?
Yeah.
Well, there's like a double-edged sword to like being really good at taking an ass-whipping. Is that sometimes you're just picked as the guy who has to go take an ass-whipping to get somebody over. And so, you know, they still need Braun to be as strong as possible. And he's gotten to a level where now we can't just run the jobbers out there anymore. So we got to kind of elevate who he ragdolls. And who else better to ragdoll than Sami Zayn, because he's going to make it look great. And that's exactly what he did.
But it's kind of like a thing. Like they're trying to, it seems like they're trying to capture lightning in the bottle twice. And the Daniel Bryan thing was just some kind of stroke of luck, or some kind of stroke of something. I don't think it's going to happen again with Sami.
I don't think that's what they're going for. I just think they just understand that, hey, Sami Zayn will make this particular beatdown look great, so let's do it.
Because we got to have an entire roster for the guys so they can. I don't know, but isn't the point of having Sami with it that you can elevate him? You can't elevate him by having him. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's always he'll have his time at some point after Royal Rumble. We'll see where he's at then.
Remember when he was hot for like a long time? He was going for like the IC title and all of this stuff. Now it's just kind of like, man, he's just another dude.
He had the match of the year with Kevin Owens. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so Charlotte comes out with Dana. She talks about last night's Survivor Series match. She talks. Sasha comes out and she talks as well. She challenges Charlotte because she never got her rematch from Hell in a Cell. So she challenges Charlotte to a match for the title. And oh, Jesus, it looks like we're going to have another women's title switch on Raw. I was not wanting this. This will be the third time. Charlotte does accept, just not tonight. She says she wants to beat Sasha.
Why would they have a title switch on Raw when they're pushing Charlotte and Bayley so hard?
I know. Well, that's the thing. Just the way they were setting this up, it looked like another. You know how like every time Sasha wins the title off for her, it's always on Raw, and it's always like a whole thing. Like I challenge you now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. So I don't know. So she says she wants to beat Sasha and Charlotte. Well, Raw will be next week. Nia Jax comes down looking very creep-tastic. I don't know how you like him, but I don't mind this at all. I don't mind this one bit.
She's not like most girls.
Right? She tells Charlotte that she isn't there for her. And there's a chant of "you tapped out," and she's there for Sasha. At Survivor Series, she dominated the other women, and Sasha did not. She has the entire WWE Universe fooled. She calls her an overrated purple-haired Barbie doll. Sasha says she's going to show her how overrated she can be. The fuck? Nia picks up Sasha, squashes her against the turnbuckle, holds her for Charlotte to slap and chop her. I gotta say, Nia makes a much better Dana Brooke than Dana Brooke. She should be her protege.
Yeah, that
should be her Diesel.
Yeah, that's a pretty good heater enforcer right there.
Right? That's an enforcer, not someone who gets beaten up all the time. So then Bayley comes out to rescue her little buddy. Of course, during the commercial, I don't know if you were aware of this, but Teddy Long appeared out of thin air. Apparently he was under the ring or something. And he calls for a straight up tag team match, playa. So when we come back from commercial, that didn't happen, people, but there is a tag team match. Charlotte and Nia Jax against Sasha Banks and Bayley. During the match, Sasha and Bayley got a two-person suplex on Nia. Nia rolls out of the ring while Sasha gets Charlotte in the bank statement, and she taps. So I think Sasha's going to turn on Bayley. I think Bayley's going to somehow inadvertently cost her the title, and Sasha will like beat her down or something.
We'll see. It'll be interesting because
it kind of seems like that's where it's going.
We're getting close. Yeah, we're getting close to Sasha, but I don't know. They seem to be doing this Nia thing, so maybe it's Nia who saves the title for Charlotte, and then that's how we get.
So that's how we get Sasha and Nia.
Yeah,
hey, maybe we'll see. So, Davey Caruso interviews Seth Rollins. Seth is giddy that Jericho is banned from ringside because every time he's gone up against Kevin in a title match, Jericho was responsible for him losing. So, let's see here. Now we have a triple threat number one contenders match: Rich Homie Swan, it's Noam Dar against Suicide. T.J. Perkins. T.J. Perkins takes the L as usual. Rich Homie Swan gets the victory. And Swan is so over at this point. This guy needs to win that title like soon.
Maybe next Tuesday night.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. Mm-hmm. I like how he reacts to his own music. It's like, you seen I think it was The Jerk. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Steve Martin finally realizes he has rhythm. That's what this reminds me of. Every time he hears his own music, he slowly gets gears up to start dancing. Okay, so then what's her name again? Interviews Kevin Owens. Kevin's calls her Renee. The look on her face is priceless when he does this. He blames everyone else for losing the Survivor Series match last night. He almost powerbombed AJ Styles' hair right off his head, which would have been an upgrade according to Owens. Owens didn't get pinned, but Seth did. Kevin then realizes that this is not Renee, which is great. Seth Rollins against Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship. So strap in, Don. This may take a minute.
Yeah, this was a hell of a match.
This is a great match. This is a great Raw match. This was actually a good pay-per-view match that happened to be on Raw. So the first weapon to make an appearance is a table, thanks to Seth Rollins. After the commercial, we see Owens bashing a chair in the Rollins' back. The crowd starts doing the Ty Dillinger 10 thing. Owens plays along for a second and simply shakes his head at the crowd. The match goes on. They bash each other with weapons. Owens puts Rollins through a table. Rollins drives Owens' face into an open chair. Rollins does a blockbuster on Owens. This is where I notice that the Canadian make-believe is in the O in Kevin Owens' shorts. Owens does a cannonball on...
Attention to detail, sir. Attention to detail.
Do you have this on Survivor Series? Because I didn't notice until...
I've never noticed it before, but okay. good eye.
Owens does a cannonball onto a chair resting on Rollins' face. It's funny, like when he put the chair on him, it was kind of crooked. Seth Rollins fixed his own chair, fixed the chair while he set up for the cannonball. Rollins was fixing the chair.
I mean, don't want to have a John Cena broken nose situation. If you can. I know,
it seemed kind of like the camera didn't need to pick that up.
I mean, Kevin Dunn hasn't been at his finest here the past month or so. So right. I expect nothing.
So does a cannonball. Did you see when who was it? I forgot what it was. Something that happened with the women. Someone attacked somebody. The cut that they were making on the camera was like every like millisecond there was another cut. It was like disorienting. I was like, my head was spinning. It was some match with the women. I forgot what it was.
Thankfully, you don't have epilepsy. You would have a full seizure.
I mean, like Kevin Dunn. Like you remember, like back in the 90s with that Pokemon cartoon when it was giving kids seizures. I'm pretty sure that was the work of Kevin Dunn. You don't remember this at all? You never heard about it? Because it was never pretty good news.
Never heard of it about it. Sorry.
I mean, not that I watched it, because I really didn't, but I read about this. So, yeah, kids were getting rushed to the emergency room because of this. Because it was always flashing. So, anyway, let's see here. Owens tries to powerbomb Rollins onto both chairs that he set up. Seth back body drops Owens onto the chairs instead. Rollins brings out another table and sets it up against the corner. After some back and forth, Rollins does a running powerbomb across the ring on Owens through the table. That was pretty good. Owens crawls out of the ring. Rollins catches up to him, and the two fight in the crowd. Owens tries to get away again, but Rollins catches up to him. Owens gets away again and is trying to leave the building. Rollins hits Owens with a trash can, and some guy in the crowd starts chanting ECW. Rollins scales the wall when Owens tries to powerbomb him. Rollins climbs to the top and launches himself down onto Owens, reminiscent of his dive during the Shield versus Evolution match. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. So, back in the ringside area, Rollins throws Owens onto the mat. He jumps up on the barricade, and out of nowhere, a man in a Sin Cara mask shoves Rollins off the barricade. The referee stops him. Rollins pulls his mask off, and it's Chris Jericho. And it's so funny that he chose the Sin Cara mask to do this with.
It's classic.
That's pretty funny.
Yes, it's hilarious.
So Rollins pedigrees Jericho, but Owens comes back and gives him the apron powerbomb. He throws Rollins back in the ring, gets the 1-2-3. The announcers mentioned that Chris Jericho was supposed to be banned. So hopefully there'll be some repercussions, but guess what? This is Monday Night Raw. That's logical. That's not happening. We'll never hear about this again. So the show's over. Fade to black. Good solid. Actually, this wasn't a bad show overall. Just some parts of it were just kind of stupid.
Come on. You can say it. Say it was good. Come on.
It wasn't bad. It was not good. It wasn't bad.
It was good.
It did not suck.
It just hurts your soul to say it was actually good, doesn't it?
Hey, I could stand this to not see Naked Enzo again, okay? Never. I don't need to see that in my life. It doesn't need to be on my screen ever again. But yeah, not a bad show. That's all you'll get out of me.
Well, we're working on them, folks. We're working on them.
Unlock the door, Cass! You know what's going to be funny, Cass? When you get beat up by a naked certified G, that's going to be funny! This restaurant, right? So this is what it is, eh? You doing? You doing all right? You doing?
What the?
You know, we got a special resort for people just like you.
Parece un coquín.
Yeah. No, thank you. You put a picture of this in your brochure, you probably sell more, though. No, I'll tell you that much. What you doing?
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, ham.
Hey.
Man, put some damn clothes on.
Better not be taking no pictures.
You'll end up in human resources. What's
going on? Yeah, you take a picture of this, you'll probably go viral. Any publicity is good publicity. How you doing?
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Why are you naked in front of my wife?
Well, it's a long story.
But is there a problem here?
Yeah, is there a problem?
Yeah, your boy has a huge problem.
I would call it a problem.
Oh, you don't call it a problem. What are you going to call it? Look at you. You stupid little boy.
Enough!
Enzo is freaking naked in the hall. That's your fault.
You embarrassed my wife.
Embarrassed nobody.
I'm put some clothes on. I'm going to crush you in the ring.
My fault, her eyes are falling out of bed.
Seriously.
Crush him like a soda can under a car tire.
Put that thing away. I'm gonna get you some clothes.
We got over here. Everybody's hating. Everybody's hating.
Okay, so go ahead and do your thing.
A little SmackDown Addis for Dee Dee here. Of course, I'll never be as good as she is, but I'll try. We get Shane comes out, in-ring promo about Survivor Series. He praises Bray and Orton. Then he turns his attention to Ambrose and Styles. Talks about how they couldn't get along when they needed to get along the most. Dean comes out. He and Shane have an exchange back and forth. Dean's like, but we won, though. Shane was like, but yeah, that's not the point. But, you know, Dean's like, but we won, though. So anyway, Dean introduces the star of Team SmackDown, none other than James Ellsworth. Ellsworth comes out in neck brace because he got launched off of the ramp.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention tables. That. Yeah, like, Strowman finally caught up to him and threw him off the stage. That was great.
Yeah, straight Eric Bischoff style. Bash at the beach. I mean, Great American Bash. I mean, excuse me.
Yeah.
He comes out in the neck brace. Dean says Shane has a surprise for James, and he dispels it and says, it's a SmackDown Live contract. So
that's great.
Shane gives Dean the night off just because, you know, he's been such a pain in his ass the past couple of weeks, and he's just so unpredictable, he can't trust him. So he sends him out of the building. AJ Styles comes down to the ring to complain about Dean and Ellsworth getting the contract. He says that they should have a ladder match for the contract because he should earn his contract. They don't just give away things here on SmackDown Live. Ellsworth says that he's willing to do it, and that if he wins, he gets the contract and a future shot at the WWE title.
So it wasn't a unique opportunity, no?
Yes. So we get Miz and Maryse. They're having a photo shoot. It gets interrupted by Daniel Bryan. They have a conversation about how the Miz won at Survivor Series. Then Daniel Bryan makes a match for the IC title between Miz and Kalisto, since Kalisto got jobbed out of his title match by Baron Corbin.
And don't forget, Daniel wanted a copy of the photo.
The Miz was unhappy, and so they snapped like a picture when he was walking off, and Daniel Bryan was like, yeah, can I have that picture? So we get Kalisto versus the Miz, IC title match. Corbin distracts Kalisto, which helps the Miz hit the Skullcrushers finale and get the win. Another drink. Corbin then jumps in the ring, gives Kalisto the end of days. The Miz and Maryse are on the ramp, clapping along, cheering Baron Corbin on. When the Miz turns around, Dolph Ziggler has snuck up behind him, and he gives him a super kick and lays the Miz out on the ramp. Then we get Shane backstage with Alexa Bliss. Becky comes in and says that they'll have their rematch at TLC in 2 weeks. They're interrupted by Dean. Dean has pizza. Basically, Shane is like, what are you doing here? He was like, hey, I went out for pizza. I got, bring you the pizza back. He was like, no, I need you to be just completely out of the building. Becky makes a bad joke about a piece of Natty's arm because Natty comes in and says that she's the reason they lost at Survivor Series, and Shane makes a match between Becky and Natty. So then we get backstage with Daniel Bryan and Corbin. Daniel Bryan puts him in a match with Kane for his punishment for his actions at Survivor.
My God, what is this? What is with this company? Your punishment is you're in a match. What the hell?
Physical retribution is how they dole out their punishment, sir.
You should hit him where it hurts. Get him with that. Hit him in the wallet or something, or suspend them a few days. I don't know.
Hit him with the he. Is that what you mean? The fine and the wallet. Yeah.
That too.
I got you. So we have this tag team turmoil match to determine the number one contender for the tag team titles. So we have basically an elimination match. It starts with two tag teams at a time. So we start off with the Hype Brothers versus the Ascension. Zach hits the Hype Rider and eliminates the Ascension. Breezango enters the match. Breezango eliminates the Hype Brothers by giving the Rider a springboard elbow off the knees of Tyler Breeze. Then American Alpha comes down. Chad Gable rolls up Fandango to eliminate Breezango. Then the Vaudevillains run down. They get eliminated by a German suplex dropkick combo by Jordan Gable. Then the Usos come down, and American Alpha eventually wins with the Grand Amplitude. They think that they've won and they're going to be the number one contenders. Then we get the Flash, and Bray Wyatt appears on the screen. Bray says that they haven't faced all the tag teams in the number one contenders tournament yet, and next week they will be entering the tag team turmoil. So American Alpha versus Bray and Randy Orton next week on SmackDown should be pretty lit.
Who are you pulling for?
I gotta go with Bray Wyatt.
I know you like both teams.
I gotta go with Bray Wyatt, homie. Hmm. I mean, Bray Wyatt is about to maybe possibly be a champion. I can't go against that.
Okay, cool.
So then we get the James Ellsworth promo backstage before his match with AJ tonight. And again, another Dean Ambrose run-in, which is the theme of the night, basically. So we get Becky Lynch versus Natty. Becky turns the sharpshooter into the disarmer and wins the match. We had Alexa, who was on commentary. After the match, she attacks Becky and gives her the DDT and lives her land. That's what I like about Alexa Bliss. She's bringing the DDT back. She's like beating people with it. She's using it to lay people out. One time for Alexa. And she was giving David a tongue of the blues on commentary. It was great.
I just think she's hot. That's pretty much it.
So short-sighted.
Now, who's the one on NXT that I like? The one that looks like Trish Stratus? I forget these people's names.
That would be, I think, Mandy Rose, I think is who you like. Who you're thinking about, sir?
I'm
the rookie of the year, Mandy Rose.
Okay, settle down. Just a question. I was getting here confused with the other one. The one that was in that six women tonight.
Liv Morgan.
I was getting here confused with her, but then I know that Morgan is the pizza girl and Mandy is like the hot one. Okay.
Yes. Mandy is like a blonde haired Eva Marie.
Right. Oh no, she's fishing that bad.
I mean, that's how she looked. She's that good looking.
Ah. Well, see, the thing is, like, the feed, because, like, somebody else was, like, somebody else was downloading something. So, like, my feed, I couldn't really see what was going on. I just saw, like, smudges.
Yeah, okay. You're doing the old...
That smudge looks like Ember Moon there. Okay, let's go with that.
You're doing the old Scramble Channel pay-per-view. Yeah,
right. It wasn't that bad. Right.
All right, so then we get Corbin versus Kane. Kalisto interferes. He attacks Corbin. Kane gives Corbin a choke slam and then leaves. Kalisto attacks Corbin with a steel chair, and he gives him the Van Daminator, which was a blast from the past. It's kind of cool to see that. So then we get one more backstage thing with Shane. And
is it when Shane throws him out? Throws him out of the building?
Yes, physically throws him out of the building. Tells him he doesn't need his jacket or whatever. But no, this is the one where he actually comes back and he's the Mountie.
You know what? I actually missed this part.
What?
I think I stepped away for something, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I heard about it. I just didn't get to see it.
Yeah, so he comes back. His final backstage thing, he appears and Dean is the Mountie, and he drops the line that the Mountie always gets his man. So that was pretty funny. So then we get our main event, AJ Styles. Oh, actually, in between here, before the Becky Lynch versus Natty match, we did have an exchange between Carmella and Nikki about who attacked her backstage. Nikki basically runs up on Carmella talking about, I know it was you. And Carmella's basically like, if you talk about, you know, it was me. You know, I always broadcast when I beat your ass. If I would have done it, everybody would have known it. So, you know, she was like, you know, it could have been Charlotte. She threatened you. It could have been somebody else, you know. So basically, we own some whodunit.
With, I like this girl's attitude.
Carmella? Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So then the main event, AJ Styles versus Ellsworth in a ladder match. Basically, AJ's dominating him. He's about to get the contract. When all of a sudden, Dean shows back up wearing the Ottawa Senators hockey gear. He starts exchanging punches with AJ. AJ gives Dean the phenomenal forearm, knocks him out the ring, climbs back up the ladder. But Ellsworth finally gets up, pushes AJ off the ladder, outside the ring. Pretty scary bump by AJ. Ellsworth sets up the ladder to try to climb to the top. AJ starts to get back in. Ellsworth hits AJ with the no chin music as he tried to get back in the ring. AJ's foot simultaneously gets caught up in the ring rope. And Ellsworth climbs to the top of the ladder, grabs the contract, pulls it down. And James Ellsworth is your newest member of SmackDown Live and also gets a future WWE title shot.
Yeah, the chin possible dream.
Yes. Did you see the callback to Shawn Michaels' Razor Ramon?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw how JBL was burning. He's like, how dare you compare that match in this one? JBL's like burial of Ellsworth. It's classic. It's like Bobby Heenan-ish.
Yeah, so would you give SmackDown a good label? Can you say that it was good?
Well, here's the thing about SmackDown. It's good only because it's only two hours. It's not a drain on my time.
It's good because it's good. It just helps that it's 2 hours.
I think that's part of it. If there was another hour, would you be saying the same thing? Or would you be like, oh my God, another hour of this?
I think I would say it was good because SmackDown knows how to use their people.
Yeah, the thing about SmackDown is like they know how to use their limited roster that they have. I mean, at first Raw had more guys, of course, because you know it's a 3 hour show, but it's different. It has a different feel to it. It's more action and more excitement. And not just like a 45-minute segment of Stephanie McMahon, you know, burying somebody.
Exactly. But, you know, fun. SmackDown matters. Always a good time. Always fun time. And it's always different people because we got some exclusively SmackDown, you know, tweeters. So, yeah, it's always a little different crowd when we do the SmackDown Matters live tweet. So that's always fun.
So I have a question for you. When do you think the Ellsworth thing will jump the shark? I mean, are they on the border of it happening?
It's like, it can only go like one or two ways. It can either go like, it's going to go this way. He's going to get the shit kicked out of him when he actually does get this title match. And I think AJ is going to whoop his ass and be done with him. And then after that,
yeah, like Dino be barred from ringside or something, or he'll be indisposed somehow. Maybe he'll get beat up first or something.
Yeah. Then after that, I don't know where they can take it unless they put him in like the cruiserweight division or something, and he kind of works over there, or maybe comes back and forth maybe between the two, because I don't really see him turning heel. That wouldn't be what the people want right now. So
I mean. Have you ever seen his indie work? Maybe he has. Maybe he does do a good heel. I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, so they're kind of in a spot where they kind of need to maybe hold him off TV for like a couple of weeks before they do the title match to kind of not burn it out.
Do an injury angle or something.
Right. Not burn it out. But
I have to say though, his haircut is like every down white boy that I went to high school with had that haircut. You know, the ones that they had the pickup truck, but then they also had the JNCO jeans.
Yeah, they had the pickup truck and they played Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, like they were really into the Bone and like and a lot of bass music. They were a lot of them were in the bass for some reason.
Yeah, bass music and Bone and West Coast hip hop.
Oh god! Oh no! Not only that, but like early '90s West Coast hip hop. They were into the Eazy-E and the Ice Cube. They weren't so much into like what was current, like SIBO and EA Ski and stuff like that. No, they were into that older stuff.
Right.
It's kind of funny because like this is I'm speaking 100% truth here. That's how it was.
You can also catch up on some of those older things and anything newer too on Amazon.com. It's time for us to make sure that you guys know that you can support the podcast here at the WrestleCast and all the podcasts underneath the CSPN umbrella by going to CSPN.com. Right. Clicking on the Amazon link, do your shopping from Amazon. It's Christmas time. Black Friday's coming up, so I know y'all, Cyber Monday as well, so I know y'all going to be out there shopping it up online because you don't want to fight the crowds, and it's actually smarter to do it this way. So kick some funds over to the WrestleCast and all your other favorite podcasts on the CSPN this holiday season. Go through our website, CSPN.us, before you jump on Amazon. Give some of that love back to us this holiday season, so we can keep giving you these great podcasts.
Right. So you just have a yearning to listen to some Sally Sale or some Mac Mall or freaking Brother Lynch Hung. Use our link first, and then go buy it.
ESQ, don't forget about him. He was pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Rapping Forte, yeah.
Yeah. Who was my man? Solo Nice, Razzkaz.
Oh, wow. I completely forgot about Razzkaz.
Yeah, so.
Like 17-year-old woke me was like listening to that one song all the time. That one song he did, the woke song,
Nature of the Threat or whatever.
Nature of the Threat. Yeah, I was listening to that like all the time. Fist in the Air.
Yeah. So actually, some of that stuff is actually pretty relevant right now, which is kind of
hated them. Isn't that true?
Kind of weird and kind of like not cool, but oh well. Right. But what is cool is NXT. They had their second show here from the ACC in Toronto. This is basically what happened before TakeOver. So we have Rick Swann versus Kona Reeves. Kona Reeves will put you guys in the mind of The Rock, the early incarnation of The Rock, a.k.a. Rocky Maivia, a.k.a. Flex Cabana, as he has the same kind of dumb-looking haircut and big smile on his face. Rick Swann hits the running enziguri in the corner. He hits the pump-up leg drop and not the 450 because in the middle of him getting ready to do the move, Sanity's music hits. Sanity comes down to the ring and attacks both men. They throw Rick Swann out, and they work over Reeves. Swann gets back in the ring with the crossbody, but the numbers game is too much. Eric Young then gives Swann his wheelbarrow diamond cutter thing that he does, and then he cuts the promo, and he says, they aren't asking, they're taking whatever they want. So then we have a commercial, then No Way Jose comes down and basically challenges him. Yes, go ahead.
By the way, I've been watching some old school Raw. I'm at the Raw where The Rock first starts calling himself The Rock, and he steals Stone Cold's IC title.
Okay.
Remember that? And then he steals his IC title. He comes out for his match, and he gets on the mic, and he wants everyone to know the following contest is a non-title match. And Jim Ross's reaction was like, oh, give me a break. But yeah, like it's great to see these old school promos of like before they were huge. Of Stone Cold and The Rock riffing at each other, these were so good.
Oh yeah, man.
Like, I mean, you could see that they're only going to get better with time. But yeah, it was the one where like Austin tells him to like check his beeper because his beeper says 316. He's coming after his ass, and then like the his beeper goes off and like his eyes bulge out. And then Stone Cold just appears behind him and just beats the crap out of him. That was so amazing. Anyway, continue.
The good old days. So basically, we get basically a fight basically between No Way Jose and Eric Young. But Sanity jumps in when No Way Jose starts getting the upper hand, and Eric Young hits the wheelbarrow diamond cutter on him and leaves Jose laying. Then we get a back.
I noticed the crowd chants. They chant Jose, 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 Jose.
Yes, that's pretty funny. He's gotten over, man. He's gotten over. So then we get a backstage promo with Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, and their mystery tag team partner, Daria Berenito, or Berenato, or whatever.
So they also, it's funny, I was like, her name is Daria, and they also mentioned a unique opportunity. What is with this company? Jesus.
So then we get basically video.
It was a takeover recap.
Yeah, basically takeover recap. Of the tag team match, the women's match, and then the final, the main event, Nakamura and Samoa Joe. And then we get our main event of this particular episode of NXT, where we have Liv Morgan, Ember Moon, and Aaliyah versus Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, and Daria Marinato.
Okay, I'll tell you how this match goes. So then they're all beating up on one of the girls. There's a big tussle. There's a big tussle. What's her name? Billy Kay drags the Bernay sauce back into the ring that has her tag in, and she's not ready. She looks around. She's like, "What am I doing?" She turns around and she basically walks into the O face. And that's pretty eclipse. Much the match.
Yeah,
she there took you go, it. Whatever.
She took it nasty because she was like kind of walking at the turned. Side. Yeah.
Yeah, her head was like on the side. It was just like she just basically did it to the side of her head.
Yeah, it was nasty looking. But yeah, that's basically what happened. And Sam watches NXT when he gets the Ember Moon alert.
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. I skipped through because I wanted to see what was going on. So I was skipping around until I got to the end. And I even skipped most of that match just because like Ember didn't get into it until the hot tag.
Right.
Which I knew that was going to happen.
Right. And she's just so explosive. I mean, when she gets into this, you know, start setting her sights on the title, and they start doing this program between her and Asuka. It's going to be amazing that match that they finally do.
Go back and watch. Go and find Athena versus Kana, and you'll see what you have to look forward to. It's great.
I bet it is, sir. I bet it is.
So was that it for that?
Yes.
For NXT.
Yes, sir. That's all our NXT.
All right. So now we're going to some Lucha Underground. Don, did you finish this? You did, right?
I did. Yes.
Okay. So the show opens with the Paul London vignette talking about the Rabbit Tribe and his friends. So now we have the Ghetto Superstars against the Rabbit Tribe. Now the Rabbit Tribe consists of Paul London doing at first he was doing like a Mad Hatter type gimmick with the hat and the sunglasses, but then when he takes it off, he looks like Jesus. So then one of the other members is a guy in shorts, a t-shirt, and a lucha mask with black feathers in it. And then there's a third guy. Now you've seen Pulp Fiction, right?
I have.
The film Pulp Fiction, you've seen it, right?
Yes, sir, I have. Yes.
Now, imagine the gimp, but imagine him in, like, checkered clothing. That's pretty much what this dude is. So, also, like, their theme song is, like, a knockoff of Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed that or not. So, the match stars, they do their thing. Paul London does a trust fall onto his opponents, and somewhere Adam Rose is filing a copyright infringement. So the Rabbit Tribe is kind of like a throwback to that 60s and 70s like Manson Family type, where like before he started killing people, back when he was just like a drug taking weird family. It's kind of like what this is, kind of half what's his name, Jones, kind of Jonesish as well, and sort of part the Haley's Comet guy, the Help Out Comet guys.
Oh yeah.
In part that too. All they need to do is just wear Nikes and orange jumpsuits, and they got that. But it's mostly 60-70 drug era. The whole open your mind type thing, you know. So they dominate most of the match, and Cobra Moon is hanging around, giving Drago the eye. And good old Thunder Rosa, she can't get enough of his scaly self. Now, remember the black girl who was one of Nia Jax's jobbers?
Yeah.
The one that Dee Dee called Black Rosemary? That's Cobra Moon's tag team partner. Not on Lucha Underground, but in like on the indies.
Gotcha.
Okay, so Phoenix gets the front roll up with the leg lock on the checkered guy, and the Ghetto Superstars get the victory, and Cobra Moon, after the match, grabs the mic and tells Drago that soon he will get on his knees in front of his queen. Okay, so Sexy Star is in the locker room, and shout out to Dee Dee. I'll go ahead and do it for her. What is a Sexy Star? So she's in the locker room shining up her belt. The Mac comes in, and he can't believe that she won Aztec Warfare. He is appalled. That belt should be his. The two look at each other, and then they both bust out laughing.
He's like, nah, girl, gradually just turn into
hug. Yeah, right? See, I thought this was going to lead to him screwing her in the main event, but no.
Oh, no.
And not in the main. He says he's going to be in her corner tonight to make sure the Wild Stallions do not interfere. But she says no, she refuses, and says that she has to do it herself. And he wishes her good luck, and she reminds him that the luck is what Johnny Mundo is going to need. The two dap it up, and we move on. And just a note that she's speaking Spanish, and he speaks English the entire time. And he acts like he understands what she's saying, which is really funny.
It's dope.
Okay, so Dante Fox versus Killshot. Dante Fox is, of course, AR Fox. Matt Stryker explains the story. Apparently, Killshot left Dante for dead back in the war. So a very athletic, very acrobatic match to start out. The crowd chants for Killshot. And like, I don't know if you noticed, but the Believers are very much like an old-school ECW crowd. Like, they cheer, mm-hmm. like, the person they know. And the mm-hmm. person that's unfamiliar to them, they just boo the hell out of them. So Fox does a few aerial moves on Killshot, but Killshot cuts him off eventually. Fox does a running apron shooting star press, which is actually really cool. And now they start chanting Fox. Killshot returns the favor with a reverse apron neck breaker onto the floor, into which I just had to shout out, Jesus. Fox gives Killshot the John Cena springboard stutter, and he gets a two count. Of course, he does it way better than John Cena.
Way better.
Right. Killshot gives Fox a diamond cutter after both men bounce off the ropes. The announcer's almost died at that. He's like, how is his neck not broken? So Killshot takes Fox to the top turnbuckle, puts him on his back, and gives him a Death Valley driver onto the apron. Did you see this? Wasn't this like the greatest?
Yes, it was fantastic.
So then Killshot gives him his double foot stomp off the top. Fox somehow, I thought this was the end of it. Fox somehow kicks out. Such a good match. Fox hits Killshot with a C4 off the top rope, and then hits the Fox catcher, and Dante Fox wins the match. This was great. And these two guys pair up really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dario Cueto is in his office. Johnny Mundo barges in. He blames Dario for Angelico appearing in Aztec Warfare. Dario says he didn't know he was there, because if he did, he would have given him Johnny's spot. Damn. Johnny says that he's put a restraining order on Angelico. He says that when the day does come that Angelico does come back, he will take him to Slamtown. As Johnny leaves, the two mutter under their breaths, what a jerk. So when Johnny does leave, Dario mutters, what a prick. Okay, so then we go to commercial. We come back from commercial. So for some reason, Dario's walking around in the back. He goes back to his office, and Black Lotus is sitting in the chair. He's surprised to see her. She says that she wants Pentagon Dark, as does the rest of the Black Lotus tribe. He pours himself a drink, says he wants to put the entire triad against Pentagon Dark in a gauntlet match. And the match will not be over until Pentagon has faced every member of the triad. He tells Black Lotus to consider it a homecoming gift. So then we have our main event. Johnny Mundo against Sexy Star for the Lucha Underground Championship. So just really quickly, this is basically it. Sexy Star is a bad wrestler. That's really all you need to know. At one point, Johnny Mundo takes a crutch from a female fan in the crowd wearing a Sexy Star mask. It's so obvious that it's Taya, but whatever. She pulls her out of the stands, and she's down on the ground, of course, because she needs a crutch. Sexy helps her up, but then the lady attacks her with brass knuckles, knocking her out. Johnny smirks, gets Sexy back in the ring, sets her up for and delivers the end of the world for the 1-2-3. And the new Lucha Underground champion, Johnny Mundo. The crowd chants Johnny Cool. The female fan gets in the ring, pulls off her mask, and it is, in fact, Taya. The rest of the Wild Stallions arrive, and now it's a party as they dance in the ring. So, pretty
good. Where's the Sexy Star? Show, except for no that. Longer Lucha yeah, Underground champion.
Yeah, everything was good except for that last match. Sexy Star just not very good. I mean, if they were going to give it to a woman, Ivelisse would be my first pick.
Yes, we know.
I don't know about you.
We know how you feel.
I mean, not just because she's hot. I mean, that's.
We know how you feel about Evie.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Nick Q. That's her boo. let's see. That's about it on my end. You got anything coming up?
Just a little bit from New Japan. Your boys, War Machine, they've got a victory in the World Tag League. Harley Race, his son, Leland Race. And his tag team partner, Brian Breaker, they got a win. Let's see. Naito was going to have a mystery partner, and his mystery partner is Los Ingobernables member from CMLL Rush. So he's back in New Japan, which is pretty cool. And let's see if there's anything else that kind of stood out. No, not really. Nagata and Shibata got beat by Yoshihashi and Okada. Okada gave Nagata the Rainmaker. So the World Tag League is going on in New Japan. Those are just kind of some matches that kind of stood out to me. War Machine actually got two wins. They beat Tanahashi and Juice Robinson in their second match. So they're doing work.
So no ROH this week, sorry. Because I just completely forgot to watch it. So apologies to those out there who are here for the ROH. I'm also an ROH. I'm a huge ROH fan. I just don't get to watch it as much as I want. Because like, there's so much programming going on. Oh, are we gonna cover 205 Live next week?
Sure. We'll slip it in there at some point. We'll see what happens. I mean, I can't imagine it. Only having maybe like three matches or four matches. So
it should only be an hour. So
yeah. Yeah. So yeah. We'll slide it in somewhere.
Right. So did you see my tweet where I mentioned like what 205 Live sounds like to me?
No.
Okay, so it's basically you remember a long time ago everybody wanted to like copy Soul Train and like, you know, the Source Sound Lab and stuff like that. It sounds like one of those. It would appear like on UPN at like 11 p.m. on a Friday night, hosted by like Nick Cannon or Byron Allen or somebody. That's what 205 Live sounds. When you say the word 205 Live, I'm thinking some kind of like
dance party.
Some kind of dance show knockoff or whatever.
Yeah, the host of our Byron Allen part is the most critical.
Or Nick Cannon, I mean, either or. Maybe both of them. On UPN, of course. Has to be on UPN.
Okay.
Right after, I don't know. Oh, Alicia, wait, no, that was a right after Nick Freno, student teacher, or whatever the hell it was called. Remember that show? With White Mike from the Wayans Brothers had his own show. Oh, he was a teacher. It was basically Dangerous Minds, a TV show.
You got me there, sir.
Yeah. You probably did watch it, but just like the horrible memories make you like forget it existed. It's okay. It's fine.
No, I try to avoid bad TV whenever I can, sir.
So even when you were like a teenager, you were still like, oh God, this is horrible.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I really watched like sports and wrestling, which are kind of the same thing. So, right. I can't even remember like a TV show like back then that I was like had to watch. It was, sports and wrestling.
There's some final battle matches that are going to happen. Cody Rhodes against Jay Lethal. That's going to happen on December 2nd. The Briscoes good. Against the Young Bucks for the ROH title, tag titles. Let's see here. TV championship. I guess a four-way. Bobby Fish, Dragon Lee, Marty Scurll, and Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay is a TV champion, by the way. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that. He beat Bobby Fish, huh?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Against, about a week ago. I know I saw it when it happened. I just didn't.
Well, good for Will Ospreay. Remember what day it was. He's a fine young lad.
Colt Cabana against... right. All right. Colt Cabana against Dalton Castle and the boys.
The boys.
And, Taylor Hendricks is doing some stuff. Oh, Jushin Thunder Liger against Silas Young. That'll be good.
The real man's man.
Right. His best friend is the Beer City Bruiser, which, like, if you were going to be a real man, you know, if you were going to have the moniker of a real man, your best friend better be a drunk. So I bought some New Day gear the other day.
Oh yeah, what'd you get?
I got that shirt, the new shirt they have, the one that goes whoo, whoo,
whoo. The owl shirt. Okay.
Yeah, got that one, and I also pre-ordered the Bootios holiday shirt.
The one that was hanging up behind Enzo and Cass when they did their little ad this week.
Was he wearing clothes? Because if not, I'm not watching that.
Yes, sir. He was wearing clothes.
Okay, good. It might have been because it's not out yet. I was actually disappointed. And then what else did I buy from them? I wanted to buy their ugly sweater, but yeah, I'll save that for later. Because I buy all these things and then like I'm still like surprised and shocked and act so dismayed when I can't afford to buy when I'm at the grocery store and I can't afford fucking celery. I know this crap, you know.
Shout out to Quintessential R. He posted a photo of him getting his holiday started right with some Hennessy White in his New Day coffee mug.
Oh, that's another thing I want. I want the director of operations mug from Kane. The world's you see that one? The world's best director of operations.
Yes, I think. Black Friday. I'm going to go on and I think I'm going to get the free agent shirt, the Heath Slater one. I think I'm going to get the 8-bit New Day shirt. It looks like the Nintendo cartridge.
Oh, yeah, I think I did see that.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a bunch of stuff. Like, they'll put things on clearance sometimes for like 10. Like, I think I saw like a WrestleMania shirt for like $5, or like a NXT Brooklyn shirt for $5.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you'll find some good cheap stuff on there sometimes.
Yeah, so that'll be a part of my my Cyber Monday or whatever.
Right. Now, what I really wanted, I'm gonna have to wait on it. I really want the Naomi plaque with the piece of canvas from which she beat Alexa Bliss at No Mercy.
Oh, really?
I really, really want that. Yeah, they only made 100 of them, of course, because they only have so much canvas. It's not signed. That's the one thing. If it was signed, I think it'd be a little bit more. It's $60, which is still kind of pricey, but I think if it was signed, it'd be at least like 90 or 100 or something.
Yeah.
Or I just think it would just be more. But yeah, I really, really want that. And it wouldn't make much sense to sign a plaque, would it? I mean, maybe like the inside picture or something, but then I'm not taking it apart just for that.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that sounds pretty cool, even though, you know,
yeah,
the Alexa Bliss part, I mean, they do isn't as cool, but
they do sell a version of it that doesn't have any canvas on it, and that's like $30. But I really want the one with the canvas.
Yeah.
Just because it's part of history or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like back in the day when Michael Vick was a rookie and everybody was trying to get the game-worn Michael Vick jersey card.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, like when the night that the Rangers went to the World Series against the Yankees, they were selling the bases. And they were also I think they were like, it was actually pretty affordable. It was like $500, which not affordable, like super affordable, but it was within reason, basically.
Yeah, if you're a collector.
And I think they were also selling, dirt from that night.
Well, that's a little bit more suspect.
It came in a plaque, you know, from like, you know, like whoever, like the dirt that like Neftali Feliz was on when he struck out, what's his name? Alex Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they would sell stuff like that in plaques, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's like it's a sports thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. As a person who is has a huge baseball card collection and autographed baseballs, yeah, I know all about the game worn and game used cards and autographs and signed, and the difference between it being signed and not signed.
like what was it that I heard a long time ago that like when the the original, well, not the original, but like the Washington Senators left Washington for Texas. The fans were like pulling up clumps of dirt from RFK Stadium.
I can believe it. I can believe it. You know, like people were taking like Derek Jeter. He has like a bunch of dirt and like seats and grass from the old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, like when they tore that place up, they were selling all that stuff on auction on like auction houses and stuff like that. Like every seat was like. Like everything, they were even taking apart like parts of the lights and parts of the facade. All that stuff was like on all the auction houses.
That's pretty dope.
They must have been killing off things.
Oh yeah, to have like the facade, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, all that stuff, all the awning and all the other junk. Like they were even selling like parts of like the toilets, which is a bit too far. But
yeah, that's a bit much.
I wouldn't want that in my house. I'm sorry. Like, I guess we gotta get out of here to let people enjoy their holiday, or if you're anywhere else in the world, you're Thursday. So I guess we can go ahead and give shout outs. Go ahead, Don.
All right, I'd like to give a shout out to all the wrestling fans that follow the WrestleCast live tweets this weekend between NXT Dot and SurvivorCast Matters. We had great turnout. Like I said, we had almost 900 tweets for the SurvivorCast Matters, so that was a really big success. Just shout out to everybody. Make sure y'all have a good Thanksgiving. Make sure that y'all have, you know, the proper amount of macaroni and cheese and collard greens and all those different type of good food that happens on Thanksgiving. Give a shout out to Classic. Give a shout out to Mel. Give a shout out to Dee Dee and everybody on the network. Shout out to you, Sam, and your family. Just, you know, everybody have a good holiday. And we'll talk to you next week where we'll preview TLC.
All right. And I'd also like to give a shout out to Don, Classic Mail, everybody, all the WrestleCast family, Quan, I Walk Less, People's Critic, all the members of the Glow. There's too many of y'all to name, but yeah. So also, oh yeah, Bricks Kitten. Bricks Kitten was the one who's here for the ROH cast. She actually did her own ROH cast on Twitter that nobody else followed, but it was funny. It was cool that she did her own. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, she took the initiative. Yeah, she asked me what was the hashtag, and I said, feel free to come up with your own and rock with it.
Yeah, I was gonna watch it with her, but just like the stream was not cooperating that night. It just didn't like me. But yeah, shout out to her. Shout out to Ali Keone on Twitter. Shout out to I'm drawing a blank here. Aizali. Yeah, you know AR Fox is like one of her teachers, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, she did mention. Yeah, so it's good to see him on Lucha Underground. I like to see her on Lucha Underground. That would be pretty cool.
I think she's gonna be in the women's tournament thing from WWE coming up here in the beginning of the year. Next year. Yeah.
Yeah. And I heard she showed out at the out there at the Shimmer Show. So that was pretty cool. So I guess that's a wrap. Everybody have a good holiday if you celebrate it. If not, have a good Thursday. And we will see you next week. And
watch out for the gobbledygooker.
Yeah, there you go. Watch out for that damn Hector Guerrero out there. What is next week? Hold on. This is great radio, folks. Okay, so yeah, so next week should be okay. Alrighty. I'm looking at the dates here. Okay, so that's good. So I guess we will see you next week, and we are out of here.
And the simple truth is that I did what I said I was going to do. I came, I fought, and I conquered the beast. Brock Lesnar. But there is a simple reality in life, ladies and gentlemen, that all good things must come to an end. But then a funny thing happened to me as I was walking to the back after the match. I run into none other than Stephanie McMahon. And Stephanie says, Goldberg, you're right. You did have one more spear. You had one more jackhammer, and by damn, you had one hell of an ass kicking left in you. But then she looked me right in the eyes and she said, but do you have one more title run left in you? You bet your ass I got one more title run left in me. Ben Stephanie says, the road to the title match is through the Royal Rumble. At the Royal Rumble match, everyone is next.